Welcome to Today on Broadway for Monday, April 15th, 2024. I'm Broadway Radio's Matt Timoney. Happy Tax Day. I guess, surprise if you didn't remember that it was Tax Day. So I hope you have those done or get those done today. So we're going to have one more week of me primarily being here on my own before we get back to normal. Next week, after the bulk of the musicals open and Grace's schedule gets back to something at least similar to what normal will be, but there is still one more week of openings after that. But for the most part, though, her schedule will get back to normal. And as of now, knock on wood, we are hoping to get back to a normal Today on Broadway setup starting a week from today. But coming up in the Patreon feed later today on Monday, I will have a travelogue episode in which I talk about a number of shows, including my return trip to The Notebook, Limpika, Five, and then also A Sign of the Times. I also saw Suffs and The Wiz over the weekend, but those aren't open yet, so I'll have to save those for when the show is officially open. So if you want to hear all of my thoughts on the shows that are open, and then presumably in the future when those other shows open, head over to patreon.com/broadwayradio, broadwayradio.com/patreon. One of those shows that I mentioned that I will be talking about on my next travelogue episode is Limpika, and that opened up over at the Long Acre Theater on Sunday night. This is a show that, as you all know, I've been following and anxiously waiting for over 4 years now, and it is finally on Broadway. It features a book by Carson Kreitzer and Matt Gould, music by Gould, lyrics by Kreitzer, and it was directed by the great Rachel Chapkin and choreographed by Raja Feather Kelly. The cast is led by Eden Espinoza as Tamara de Limpika. Her husband is played by Andrew Szymanski. Also in the cast are George Abood, Zoe Glick, Amber Amon, Natalie Joy Johnson, Beth Level, Nathaniel Stampley, and more. All right, even though I have been waiting for quite a long time to do these reviews, it is after 11:30 p.m. on Sunday night. We still do not have an official rundown from Did They Like It? I'm refreshing it as we speak. Nope, still nothing. A lot of the reviews don't seem to have come out until after 11 p.m. So I was not, even though I saw the show this weekend, I was not on any emails that said the embargo was that late. So we are not going to have a Did They Like It kind of roundup style review, but Broadway World has started collecting reviews. So I will run you through the majority of those. And if by the time I'm done editing, there's a Did They Like It roundup, I will put that in the show notes if you want to check that out. All right, let's start off with Jesse Green of the New York Times, who was mixed. He opened up his review saying, quote, "Having dismissed her work as merely decorative, a fierce Italian gives harsh advice to an ambitious young painter. You need to be a monster, he brays, or a machine. The painter, Tamara de Limpika, didn't take the advice in real life because it was never given. But Limpika, the new Broadway musical about her, which opened on Sunday at the Long Acre Theater, certainly did, and then some. It's a monster and a machine. A machine because it argues with streamlined efficiency that in her groundbreaking portraits of the 1920s and 30s, Limpika forever changed the representation of women in art and thus changed women themselves. As for monster, well, efficiency is not always pretty. Among the values compromised in the grinding of the musical's gears are subtlety, complexity, and historical precision. Yes, that fierce Italian existed. He was Filippo Marinetti, the founder of Futurism and later a fascist. But the scene in which Limpika studies art with him is, like many others, made up. He questions whether or not that's important for a show that claims to be inspired by somebody's life to be accurate. And he, of course, mentions Sunday in the Park with George is almost completely fictionalized. But he goes on to say, quote, "Because yes, another reason the show is a monster is that it's a jolly big sing, with superior belting from several excellent practitioners of the cast. As Limpika, Eden Espinoza blows thrillingly through nearly a dozen songs by Matt Gould and Carson Kreitzer. She has excellent company in Amber Amon as Limpika's lover, Raffaella, and Beth Level as a dying baroness who sits for a portrait. For good measure, Natalie Joy Johnson, as the cabaret star Susie Solitor, contributes a barn burner to herald the opening of her lesbian hangout. Naturally, the song is called Women, and it's a nice change that a musical about them gives them pride of place." But if there's no denying the realness of the vocal power and the sleekness of Rachel Chavkin's staging on deconstructed Art Deco sets by Ricardo Hernandez, the story too often feels incredible in the wrong sense of the word. It's not just that Marinetti is so weirdly central, or that Raffaella is a composite, or that in real life Solitor was a Nazi collaborator and Limpica the Baroness's betrayer, not her portraitist. It's that the condensing, rejiggering, and flat-out fudging of the plot create a contextual blur that obscures the main character. He talks about the dueling themes in the show, one being Limpica's personal life and then her artistic process. He does say that the artistic process is handled better. And then he wraps up his review talking about Sunday in the Park, saying, quote, that there is little, if any, historical truth in that characterization is not ultimately the problem. The painter George Surratt in Sunday in the Park with George, a show referenced in the first lines of the script, meaning of the Limpica script, is largely fictionalized too, a cad to his mistress and generally unlikable. Limpica doesn't have the craft, especially in the misaccented, often vague lyrics, to make its title character a relatable modern woman, nor the boldness to let her be awful and great. Perhaps if it were less of a machine, she could be more of a monster. Frank Rizzo of Variety was also mixed, saying, quote, certainly Eden Espinosa starring in the title role brings both luminosity and strength to her powerful performance as the ambitious, visionary, and resilient artist known for capturing the women of her day in an aspirational light, perfectly poised, coiffed, and seemingly glowing from within. But the musical's titular character is not so polished. Rather, she's a complicated woman, to a fault. This might not be as much of a concern in a thick biography, but it's harder to convey successfully in a musical where a clearer line is needed as it follows epochs of life, society, and art. Adam Feldman of Time Out in New York is negative. In fact, his review is not starred, which means that it was either a 1 or 2 star review. Saying, quote, the result is a musical that sometimes embraces campiness and sometimes falls flat into camp, especially when it skirts melodrama. When coal-eyed chorus boys repurposed as brown shirts violently raid Solidar's queer bar, and then the show cuts to a wild-eyed Beth Level belting It's the End of Time straight at the audience, I challenge you not to giggle. And where in time are we supposed to be exactly? By this point in the show, Limpica seems to have abandoned history entirely. Why is the futurist Italian painter Filippo Marinetti leading what appears to be a police raid in Paris in the 1930s? It doesn't help that another musical in town right now, Cabaret, depicts queerness and fascism with a great deal more depth. Robert Hoffler, writing for The Wrap, was also negative, saying, quote, why have Kreitzer and Gould given their Limpica nothing but loud, caterwauling screeds to sing? Once Upon a Time, that's a really good reference by Robert Hoffler, Espinosa played Elphaba in Wicked on Broadway, and here she appears stuck trying to top Defying Gravity in one female empowerment anthem after another. We get it. Tamara de Lampica is a most liberated woman. Only when the title character is off the stage are we able to give our ears a respite from all the noise. Equally loud, but even more grating, is the performance of George Abboud, who plays a Nazi MC on Leave from Cabaret. And I'll wrap up with Philip Conacott from The Washington Post, who said, quote, in Limpica, history is, as they say, just one dance number after another. It summons the shocks and jolts that forge the identity and resiliency of the artist, which doesn't yield an actual character, but more of a ready-made hero for contemporary political tastes. Espinosa does heroic work tying the threads together, but instead of inhabiting a character with multiple facets, she's left to reconcile multiple characters serving various theatrical purposes. As I mentioned at the top of the show, I will have my thoughts on Limpica in my travelogue episode if you want to head over there later on Monday to check that out. I will say that I agree with some of these reviews that there's a lot going on in this show, and I don't know that it all congeals the way that you would like it to. I also think that they probably would have been better served to narrow the focus a little bit, both in terms of all of the different storylines that are going on and the time period that this covers. And that was mentioned a couple times in there. But to me, I think the performances are tremendous. I actually quite liked George Abboud. And I think after the first 30 minutes, which is a lot of exposition, we start to have some fun with characters. And I think if they could have started with that and carried it a little bit more consistently throughout, I think that would have worked better. Again, the performances are incredible. I think the score is still really interesting. They do so many different things with the score. I don't necessarily think that all of the songs work, because I do think there is a bit of sameness throughout. But when the songs work, man, they work as well as anything on Broadway and as anything this season especially. So again, I'm refreshing again one more time. We do not have the Did They Like It review, so I will have the Broadway World Review roundup in the show notes, and you can check that out there. All right, from one show that has hopes of being in contention for many Tony Awards to the Tony Equivalent Awards happening over on the other side of the Atlantic. Yesterday, stage and screen star Hannah Waddingham hosted the 2024 Olivier Awards at the Royal Albert Hall in London. We obviously don't spend a ton of time on things happening in London, especially if it's not something that we either know or suspect is going to be coming back to the States at some point, but I do think it's informative to see what won over there. I will not go through every single category, but you can certainly check those out in the show notes. I will hit the biggest ones here. The winner for Best New Play is Dear England by James Graham. Best New Musical is Operation Mincemeat. Best Revival, which is Best Revival of a Play, is the one-person Andrew Scott Vanya. And then Best Musical Revival is the Broadway-bound Sunset Boulevard. The Best Entertainment or Comedy Play went to Stranger Things, The First Shadow, a very smart move to put that into that category rather than New Play. Best Actor in a Play went to Mark Gatiss for The Motive in the Queue, which I think might end up over in New York at some point. I do love Mark Gatiss. Best Actress went to Sarah Snook for her one-person performance of The Picture of Dorian Gray. Best Actor in a Musical was Tom Francis for playing Joe Gillis in Sunset Boulevard. Best Actress in a Musical was Nicole Scherzinger for playing Norma Desmond in Sunset Boulevard. Both Francis and Scherzinger will be accompanying the revival over to the States. Best Actor in a Supporting Role in the Play went to Will Close for playing football/soccer star Harry Kane in Dear England. Best Actress in a Play went to Hayden Gwynn for When Winston Went to War with the Wireless. Best Actor in a Supporting Role in a Musical went to Jack Malone for Operation Mincemeat. Best Actress in a Supporting Role in a Musical went to Amy Trigg for The Little Big Things. Best Director, that's for both plays and musicals, was Jamie Lloyd for Sunset Boulevard. Again, if you want to look through all of the Olivier Award wins, head over to the show notes. All right, let's run through this week's theatrical schedule, and there are a lot. So I'm going to focus on the Broadway stuff just to kind of get you up to date on those. But I am going to talk about off-Broadway things, but I'm just going to do it very quickly. If you want more information, I will have the links for every show that I talk about in the show notes. Happening first tonight, Monday, April 15th, will be the off-Broadway opening for the new play Scarlet Dreams over at the Great Greenwich House Theater. Next, on Tuesday night, we have the official off-Broadway opening of the Public Theater's production of Sally and Tom, the new play by Susan Laurie Parks. Then on Wednesday, we get the first Broadway opening of the week, and that happens over at the Marriott Marquis Theater, where The Wiz will officially open its revival. Directed by Shelley Williams, who was in the back of the house when I saw the show on Sunday, and choreographed by Jaquel Knight. This is the very first Broadway revival of this show, and it features newcomer Nichelle Lewis as Dorothy, Avery Wilson as the Scarecrow, Philip Johnson Richardson as the Tin Man, Kyle Ramar Freeman as the Lion, Deborah Cox as Glinda, Melody A. Betts as Aunt Em and Eveline, and of course Wayne Brady as the Wiz. The show, of course, did a national tour before it came to Broadway, and they have already announced dates for a subsequent tour to go across the country in this next season. But I do think like they are billing this as an open-ended run, so we will see what happens with that moving forward. Then downtown on Wednesday, we have the first off-Broadway performances for Here There Are Blueberries. That is happening at the New York Theater Workshop. Then on Thursday, we have another Broadway opening, and this one is for the long-gestating musical Suffs, written by Shayna Taub, both book, music, and lyrics, and starring Shayna Taub. We'll get to that here in a second. It is directed by Lee Silverman and choreographed by Mady Natalio. This one is playing at the Music Box Theater. In addition to Shayna Taub, the cast is stacked with a ton of fantastic people, including Jen Colella, Hannah Cruz, Nadia Dandashi, Silala Brock, Kim Blank, Ali Bonino, Nikki M. James, J.G. Makupagai, Anastasia McCleskey, Grace McLean, Emily Skinner, and more. This one had previously played at the Public Theater in early 2022. I went back and checked. I saw it just over 2 years ago. It was in early May when I saw it. And it has gone through quite a bit of changes, especially on the creative team. While Lee Silverman has remained as director, and there's been a few other folks here and there, many people from the Public Theater's creative team have been replaced, and it shows. I mean, if you've seen any of the images from the show, it is a much different looking show. I will share my thoughts about what I think about the other changes when this one officially opens. Then on Friday, we have another Broadway opening. This one has music in it, but is not a musical. This is the Broadway transfer of Playwrights Horizons' play Stereophonic, written by David Ajimi with original music by Will Butler. It is directed by Daniel Oy Kin and has a fantastic cast, all of whom came from that direct transfer from off-Broadway. Will Brill, Andrew R. Butler, Juliana Canfield, Eli Gelb, Tom Pasinka, Sarah Pigeon, and Chris Stack. This tells the story of a fictional 1970s rock band with lots of personal dramatic relationship things happening during the recording session for one of their albums. I really think, like, I haven't seen it on Broadway, but as I'm kind of going through potential Tony categories, I think that Stereophonic could very well, it'll almost certainly be nominated for Best Play, but I think it could also get a nomination for Best Score, and I think it deservedly so, because while these songs are diegetic, so the people know that they're singing, they aren't like what you think of in musicals where, like, I have so much emotion that I can't speak, so I'm going to sing. These are all like songs for their album, but because of the nature of the show, a lot of the songs are being written about the interpersonal relationships in the band. So they certainly convey character and push the narrative forward. So I think that this very well could end up being one of those rare Best Play and Best Score nominees, which I think would be very, very fun. Also on Friday, we have the first preview performance for Dungeons & Dragons, the 20-sided tavern, happening off-Broadway at Stage 42. Then on Saturday, April 20th, a rare Saturday opening night, we have Hell's Kitchen officially coming to Broadway at the Schubert Theater. This, of course, is a show that features the music by Alicia Keys and is very, 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 very loosely based off of the life and experience of Alicia Keys, basically meaning, like, it's a teenage girl from New York who plays the piano, and nothing else is based on her at all. But it is directed by Michael Greif and choreographed by Camille A. Brown. Starring in the avatar for Alicia Keys, Allie, is Malia Joy Moon in her Broadway debut. Playing her parents are Shoshana Bean and Brandon Victor Dixon. Also in the cast are Chris Lee, Keisha Lewis, and more. This one, like Suffs, played its off-Broadway run at the Public Theater, but unlike Suffs, came to Broadway almost immediately. Suffs took 2 years. This took just a handful of months before it came to Broadway. I think it probably actually pretty close to 2.5 months from its off-Broadway closing to its Broadway first preview. Also on Saturday, we will have the first off-Broadway preview up at Lincoln Center for the Bingsons' new show, The Keep Going Songs. And then on Sunday, the final Broadway opening of the week. This one is Cabaret at the Kit Kat Club, happening at the August Wilson Theater. Of course, the latest revival of this acclaimed show is directed by Rebecca Frecknow and choreographed by Julia Cheng. The cast is led by Eddie Redmayne as the MC and Gail Rankin as Sally Bowles. Also in the cast are A2 Blanks and Wood, Natasha Diaz, Henry Godfrey, B.B. Newer, Steven Skybell, and more. This is a show that, because it takes you into an immersive world of the Kit Kat Club, it has pre-show entertainment. So depending on your ticket level means where you can get in and how much and all of that stuff. But there is certainly entertainment for everybody ahead of time. So make sure that you check out what they are calling the prologue performances. And I'm excited to see. I won't see this until my next trip, so I think in late April, early May. But I'm very, very much looking forward to checking out Cabaret. Then another opening we have on Sunday night is off-Broadway. It happens over at the Signature Theater, and this is Sarah Rule's new play, Orlando. And then we have two closings that I want to mention on Sunday. The Broadway revival of Doubt is closing from Roundabout Theater Company. And then Five, the parody musical, which I saw this past weekend, is closing as well over at Theater 555. All right, real quick run through a couple bits of news before we wrap this up. On Friday, Roundabout Theater Company announced a ton of information about its 2024-2025 season. They'd already announced some of the shows that were going to be in it, but they confirmed their opening nights. We now know that the Broadway premiere of Sanaa's Tusi's show English will open on January 23rd. The revival of The Pirates of Penzance, which is set in New Orleans and stars Ramin Karimloo and David Hyde Pierce, will officially open on April 24th of 2025. The first show of the Broadway season will be David Henry Hwang's Yellowface, starring Daniel Dae-Kim, and that will start off the season on October 1st. They also included some information about their off-Broadway season. The new play by Megan Kennedy called The Counter, directed by David Cromer, will open on October 9th. Bess Wohl's Liberation, directed by Whitney White, will open on February 20th. And then turning lemons into some sort of lemonade, we found out last week that Rob Madge, who was supposed to be on Broadway right now with My Sons Are Queer, But What Can You Do, he will bring a new show to the West End at London's Garrick Theatre. It'll just be two performances on May 26th, but it is called Rob Madge's Regards to Broadway. So, of course, this has to do with his currently just postponed production of My Sons Are Queer. But it should be very exciting and very funny and probably very cathartic for Rob as well. All right, I have two little recommendations that I want to send out to you. First, as I mentioned, Hell's Kitchen is opening this week. They released a music video of one of the new songs that Alicia Keys wrote for the show Kaleidoscope. It features both her and Malia Joy Moon. And then Merrily We Roll Along released a video of Daniel Radcliffe performing Franklin Shepard, Inc. for the recording session for the cast album. So you can check those both out in the show notes. All right, that's all that we have for today. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Broadway Radio. You can follow me on Instagram at BWWMatt. Also, don't forget to head over to Patreon to hear everything that we have going on there. All right, have a wonderful Monday, a wonderful week, and I'll be back to talk to you tomorrow.